This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
You're listening to America's Diesel Podcast.
Sup, bitches?
Intro, go.
Hey, everybody. This is Diesel Power Products.
I think we should let Jesse do it.
No, I fucked up the last one.
You nailed it last time.
I already fucked up the intro, so I mean, we're...
Do it in 7 seconds or less.
This is America's Diesel Podcast. Five, buy your diesel parts from Diesel Power Products. Listen to us. We love you. Two. Bye.
Nice.
End of intro.
That was 6 seconds. That was very nice.
6.9, if you will.
Yeah. So, real quick, Rudolph Diesel thing is going around again.
It is.
And there's actually a new book coming out about the disappearance of Rudolph Diesel. And like this guy goes in. I haven't bought the book. It's only for sale for with hardback, and I don't have that kind of money for it.
You don't have that hardback money.
I'll wait for that paperback, maybe. And it'd be like my only book, so I don't want to put like one hardback book on a shelf and that's my only book.
No, if it's your only book, splurge.
Yeah.
Distinguished gentleman.
It's not even leather bound.
Well, I mean, hold on. You have a book about reasons to vote Democrat, and you also
it's
have
on the floor
a book
over here
about how
I thought that was our book. Is
how
it mine?
To cook with semen.
Well, that's I'm actually using that.
And you have the Facebook book.
I guess this is my first hardback book.
It'll be your fourth book.
Yeah. I guess. Wow. I am a distinguished gentleman.
You're expanding the shit out of that library of yours.
A scholar.
One of them has nothing in it.
A wordsmith.
Actually, two of them have nothing in it. How to cook with semen and reasons to vote Democrat.
One
nothing
has
in
lime.
It.
Lines. Sorry. Yeah. Lines in. It's a notepad.
So, but no, this guy like goes in depth on like the conspiracies behind it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't remember what we talked about when we first brought it up, but like, did we talk about John D. Rockefeller? How he could be one of the people that like hired someone to kill him.
It wouldn't surprise me.
But you know why? Because he owns Standard Oil Company.
Yeah.
And he has this alternate fuel engine that they're using in like German submarines and shit. And he's on his way to Britain to go share his idea, and he just disappears.
Well, and it's crazy that with fuels, like, there was like gasoline and diesel and everything was a byproduct.
Yeah.
They were like trying to get kerosene and stuff.
Yeah, they'd throw it away.
They'd pour it in the rivers and stuff. Like they were just like, we got this stuff out of the ground, just pour it back in the ground over there.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's kind of wild. And the guy that wrote the book, and I'm sorry, I already forgot his name. I'm not very good at this kind of stuff, but he said like Rudolph Diesel is like one of the most influential people in history, but has like the least amount of like documentation about him.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
we know his name.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. That's a lot of information to start with. There.
Yeah.
Rudolph Christian Carl Diesel. Christian Carl with a K.
Yeah, the book is mysterious disappearance of Rudolph Diesel or something like that. But it's funny because it was on. I've listened to you know, a couple political podcasts. I listened to Ben Shapiro, and he had the author on as a guest for like a 10-minute episode. And I was like, oh, no way. This is freaking crazy. Talking about diesel stuff.
Yeah. The Mysterious Case of Rudolph Diesel by Douglas Brunt.
Yeah.
Inventor vanished in 1913.
Yeah. But there was like some German guy that possibly like some like German fucking millionaire that possibly wanted to have him dead because he was sharing. This is like right before World War One, and so, you know, and he was on his way to Britain to share his idea of the diesel engine for like the submarines and shit. And so they think that he might have had something to do with it. And then they also think Rockefeller might have something to do with it because he was, you know, jeopardizing his fortune of, you know, Standard Oil.
Makes sense.
I want to see just how much this book is, Tyler, for you to be complaining about how much a hardback
is. $26.95.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Tyler.
I'm pinching pennies, okay? Anyways, but do you know what's funny? Do you know what I think is hilarious about that like time period? The amount of investigation that went into that death was about like, he ain't here.
Yeah.
Load the ship up.
Well, they had other things going on.
It's like the amount of investigation that happened was like
you guys look everywhere? Well, I mean, we can check that corner over there. But, you know.
It's not like they hop on their phone and call Interpol and just ring them up. It's like getting a hold of someone across the... like.
I get it. But there was like nothing written about it. They're just like, he's gone. Well, that sucks. Yeah. like, and this is like a guy that was, you know, at the time, he, you know, was... although we did read about him having to owe a bunch of people money and that kind of thing, but this is like a relatively famous person.
That's how businesses get started.
Yeah. But they're just like, hey, he's gone. Well.
I mean, you ever watch Suits?
What's for dinner? Where was Sherlock Holmes when we needed him?
He's probably who did it.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Watson.
If you guys haven't figured out, Jesse's on the podcast.
Hi.
Yeah. He's back.
Hi, Jesse.
Corey's back for here more too.
So, today, we're going to talk about my favorite project that we have going on here. It's the LB7. Today, we're talking about the LB7 and our journey with trying to figure out the fuel starvation issue.
It should be called LB7K to get it started.
Pretty much. So, for those of you who don't know, we do have a shop truck. It's a 2001, like an early 01. LB7. It's got like 313,000 miles on it, something like that. Extended cab, long bed. It's had like a million owners. And it's fairly stock. Like it didn't have a lift pump. Yeah. We've determined it probably had a tune at one point just because now it has a stock tune in it because I was tuning it and it feels way more lethargic than it did before. But what we're going to talk about for this moment is we put a FAS on it and a fleece SureFlow because the sending unit wasn't reading in the tank and we were having some starting issues. And yeah, and every Duramax needs a lift pump. Fact. Especially older ones with high mileage on them.
Yeah.
Fact. So we had it in the shop, dropped the tank, put the SureFlow in. There was fuel in the tank when we put the SureFlow in.
There was... a bit of fuel.
There was.
Because the tank was heavy. We had to use the tranny jack to get it out.
Yeah. It was not super easy to maneuver. And we get it in the truck. We get everything installed. Got the electrical put on and everything like that. And we start driving it. And, like, we start it, idles.
By starting driving it, you made it 10 feet.
Yeah. Well, we start it. Everything's fine. It idles for a while. Everything's fine. I go to move it and it dies. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Start it up again. Won't start. Finally, we put it in park. Starts. Okay. We let it sit there. You know, all right, cool. Nothing's happening. Drive it around a little bit more. Nothing happens. Okay. Take it out for a spin on the parking lot. Dies. So then, at this point, at the day, Jesse was already gone. And me and Wes were here, and we're like, well, we don't know when the fuel filter was changed last. And we did, since we put a FAS on there, we were planning to do a fuel filter delete on it. So we slammed a fuel filter delete on it real quick, primed it up, still just turning over. And the pump was coming on. Nothing. And Cooper finally comes down from his office. He's like, stop cranking the engine over. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Let's try and figure out what it is. So we turn the key to the on position, and we open the tank up, and you can, like, eventually it's like, it's sucking and sucking and sucking, and then you hear it returning fuel in the filler neck back down to the tank. It's okay, so we can assume the pump is primed now.
Yeah.
It's now filled up the entire fuel system that's returning fuel back to the tank.
Yep.
Start it up, everything's fine. Back it out, everything's still going fine. Take it out in the parking lot, dies. Fuck. Okay. Do the whole thing. And so we're thinking we have like air caught in the system or something like that. Prime it a whole bunch of times, drive it around, stalls, drive it around, stalls, drive it around, stalls, drive it around, stalls. We get it started. I like brake stand it, barely moves, doesn't do anything. And then as soon as we start driving, stalls. And so we're like, well, shit. And we're like, is there fuel in the tank? And the sending unit's reading like half tank. We're like, could it be stuck? And the check the basics thing in me is like, just make sure there's fuel in it, Ben. You're going to hate yourself if you don't put fuel in it now.
Yeah.
After we try and diagnose it a little bit more. So like any good person would do, we bought a tuner for it.
Because that's where you start.
Before we put the fucking fuel in the tank, got an Edge Evolution CS2 for it. Shout out to Edge for helping us out with that one. But because we are being budget-minded on this, yeah, we literally went with an Edge Evolution CS2 because it's a smaller screen, a little bit cheaper. Same tuning as the CTS3 on it. And because what I wanted to do is I want to watch rail pressure. Because I know that this CP3 is old, and I know that those of you saw the video when I was like pressurizing the tank to try and prime the system, I overpressurized it. Pretty sure I blew a seal in the CP3 because they were like, hey, you know, you don't need to do that for a little bit or something like that. I did it for like 10, 15 seconds with shop air. And yeah, like, yeah. When I took my hand off, it's like, oh God.
Truck diesel bath.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, I wanted to watch rail pressure. So we got the Edge Evolution installed, and I put it on, get the truck started. And I was like, all right, we need to watch rail pressure as it dies. I want to watch what command in actual is, because I have a feeling that either it could be maybe like the pressure relief valve or the CP3 or something like that. But that's just kind of like, that's one of the things we're planning to do. It's one of the things going to help us read some codes, because we don't have any scan tools or anything right now on it. And
and then you proceeded to sit there and piss whine the thing to try and get it to die.
Yeah.
And it
wouldn't
refuse to fail.
I'm like, all right, cool. Well, maybe we fixed the issue. I mean, we just happened to do it. And I'm literally like, the ass end sticking outside of the shop. It was like one of the first colder days. So everybody's freezing inside. And I'm out there just like basically holding it at about 2200 RPM. Just.
I'm sorry, but your diagnosing on this truck is terrible.
I'm trying to go at it like like someone in their garage would be like, God. You know. I was like,
fuck. And then you back it out of the shop, and miraculously, it dies.
It dies, yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, there's got to be like so little fuel in the tank that every time we like it sloshes around, it just loses the pickup, loses the prime, and it stops feeding it. It's like, okay. So we leave the truck right there. Me and Wes go to the fuel station, grab 5 gallons of diesel, throw it in the tank, and instantly key in the on position. Now it's reading 3/4 of a tank. So, okay, good. The sending unit's working. It also means that we had a half a tank in there.
Yeah.
So this thing has fucking fuel.
Yeah.
This thing should not be sloshing, causing issues. So now I'm like, okay, well, is it like pulling in air somewhere or something like that? So me, Wes, and Jesse kind of stand there looking at it. And I have the key in the on position, and it's in neutral at the moment. And he's like, prime the pump. I'm like, should be priming right now. Like, prime it. Like, turn the key on. Key's on. Like, pump's not on. And all of a sudden, all of us like, hang on a second. Leave the key in the on position and put it in park. Pump starts up again. Put it in reverse with the like engine off. Pump shuts off. Like, son of a bitch.
So the circuit that, because I just took a test light in the fuse box underneath the hood and just defined key on power. I have never found a key on power circuit in a truck ever in my life that shuts off when it comes out of park. And I don't even remember what circuit we tapped into, but I just went around. There wasn't a lot of options. There wasn't a lot of key on power options in the box under the hood. That especially ones that fuse tap, like add a tap thing would go into, because there's like relays in there and everything. So we kind of had to, our options were slim. So I was finally like, ah, this one works. Cool. 10 amp circuit. Plug it in.
Isn't there a... Now, this might be with, because I know with like some like a doubled in stereos, like, you know how you can watch a DVD, mm-hmm. but then when you put it in drive, it won't let you. Like, it'll only let you watch stuff in park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that, I'm trying to think of, I'm trying to remember back in the day when I did a bunch, when I was a stupid kid doing stereo yeah. stuff. And there was a way to, like, I can't remember if it was, like, with the fuse. I know you can hotwire the switch, but I'm trying to think of, like, what that circuit would be, because I remember that specific function and you having to put that wire in, so mm-hmm. you can't, like, watch things while you're... And we would, of course, always bypass that. But yeah,
for whatever reason, this circuit shuts off when it comes out of park. So we immediately just hooked it into the next one that was... I don't remember what circuit it was. Like, it just said engine.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that one works.
Yeah.
And then the truck was fine.
Everything's fine. Yeah.
And then we immediately put a tune on it and bricked the truck.
Yes. We
fixed the truck and 37 seconds later...
Bricked it.
And it was like, oh, well, are the batteries dead? Like, it acts like the battery... No, it's fried. The batteries are
it's
fine.
It's making all kinds of noises that, like, you turn the key in the ambition, it goes...
Yeah, every solenoid starts clicking, every relay, and it's like lights in the dash go weird, and it's like, oh boy.
Wes shuts the door and the oil pressure gauge does a full 360 and comes around like, oh my God! Fucking Poltergeist truck. Like, this is not good.
I remember thinking, I was just like, this is totally what we deserve.
And of course, I ignored all of my good intrusive thoughts, which was, okay, eliminate the variables. We should go for a test drive right now. The edge is monitoring. We're got it all. We're monitoring what we need to do. The truck's starting. Everything's working. We should go for a drive. And I look at Wes, and I'm like, should I put a tune on it? He's like, yes. I'm like, I fucking like your style. So I pull it up. I think we should go economy. He's like, economy, like, if we're gonna blow it up, let's fucking, like, let's not blow it up on economy. Like, it's like, again, Wes, I fucking like your style, man. Yeah. Like, straight to performance or extreme, whatever the hell it is. I go to load it and it's like, bzz, like, bzz, air code. I'm like, oh, okay. So I just, okay, well, we're not gonna put the tune on. All right,
it was probably battery voltage.
We had a charger on it.
Yeah.
We did have
a trickle charger at the moment.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then, because we were cranking it over so damn much.
Well, that's why I said it was probably battery voltage, but if you had a trickle charger on it.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll just drive it stock. And I go to start, like,
So again,
like,
people.
Oh, no.
What was I going to say?
Don't be like us.
Well, sometimes there's a reason they put it in instructions, disconnect battery cables and stuff like when you're installing it. Like, I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, when you like put it in and put all the connectors on and that's, you know what I mean? But, you know, because I've actually done that before back in the day when I was doing a bunch of side jobs and I was putting some Mexico inspired parts on a LMM.
Ooh.
Yeah.
LMM got the Taco Bell treatment, huh?
Well, yeah, I got the Taco Bell treatment, and it also got a bricked ECM that I had to pay for. Yeah.
With that crispy gordita PCM.
Yeah, that was the last one I ever did. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
It cost me $300. I made $50 on the deal.
And in the same respect as that, I had a scare one time with... It was a 91 Toyota pickup that was like kind of, it was straight axled, like it'd been rolled and rebodied and it was kind of a hodgepodge, and he just needed a muffler welded on it real quick. It was, and I was like, dude, just, you know, he was already at my house. I'm like, I just roll it in the shop, put the muffler on real quick. And I was religious about unhooking batteries and stuff before I welded on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I roll under the thing and he's like, you want me to unhook the battery real quick? And I'm like, I ain't worried about it. Like, we're just doing, we're like, it had, the truck had like no, it was just like the pipe was dead ended at like the front of the bed.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to hook the ground to the back of the muffler and weld it on. It'll be fine. Do that. And he fires the truck up and it's barely running. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The weirdest like coincidental thing in the world. It was like a knock sensor or something was broken. And it's like, just happens like it, because he's like, dude, you totally screwed my truck up. And I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. It's like, you know, I mean, on new stuff these days, it's like, it probably sounds bad. Most of the time you don't have to disconnect the battery, because like the way you run grounds and everything else is like, it's fine. And you can put the little welding protection clamps, like, you know, circuit protector and stuff on there. But it's, I remember thinking, I'm like, it's 91 Toyota pickup. How could anything have happened to it?
Yeah.
It's like, it's supposed to be the most indestructible thing on the planet. And, you know, yeah. And then we find this like little knock. It was knock sensor. Oh no, it was a temperature sensor. It was a temperature sensor for the ECM.
Mm.
And because it has two, it has one for the gauge and one for the computer. And that one was like broken. And it just happened that like backing it into the shop was like the last bump that it needed to like fall off.
Oh God. Yeah. No, I will say I've gotten a lot better at especially like the last time I did, I think on my truck when I put that EZX in there, I think I did disconnect him. Just because I'm like, I don't want to pay for like new tuner for this truck. Like, I just want to, you know, I'm gonna follow it. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, but even so, like even before that, like with my Eco Diesel, that's a full ECM removal. Mm-hmm. Like back, like so you're damn right. And every time after that, I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, I'll spend the freaking 4 minutes and just take these off. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, but 1,000 times before then, yeah. I never did and never had a problem. Well, the LMM one was a fluke thing. I think there was something else that had happened, because I had heard about that happening a couple of times, especially with the early Duramaxes.
Oh, the LOIs were the worst.
I know LOIs are the worst, but I've heard that happening a couple of times, and it was like, I can't remember exactly what happened. I think I can't remember. It was so long ago, but yeah, that was the only bad time I had. But every time after that, I'm just like, okay, I'll just disconnect these.
Yeah.
Well, the way you were telling me on these LB7s, it's like a 30% chance that like you're just kind of rolling the dice, right? On some of those,
I wouldn't say 30, because I mean we've sold a ton of those tuners for LB7s and LYs and LBZs. And most of the time you find this issue when you're trying to do EFI live on them.
Oh.
Especially on LOIs. Like, yeah. To the point where back in the day when people would do like live tunings, like if like Corey Willis came by or something like that, he wouldn't do live tunes on LOIs because the likelihood of breaking an ECM was like through the roof.
Yeah, I think we even had a note on our website that if this happens, it's not PPI's fault. It's just the fault of the freaking computer that these trucks use. Like,
GM's fault.
Yeah.
It was like LOI. It's like, you're going to tune your truck? Cool. Make sure you're at home. Make sure you have a battery on there, tender on there. Like,
make sure you don't have to leave in 6 hours or something.
Yeah, like, do you have a backup vehicle? Do you have a continue? Oh my gosh, it sounds like you're kind of scaring me. Like, the likelihood of you breaking your ECM right now is pretty high.
Yeah,
I just want you to know that. But it's especially high with LOIs and EFI live. It goes down when it's an LB7 or LBZ, and then it goes down in chance even more when it's just like a box tuner like this Edge Evolution was. But they're okay, so we got the error code, and I'm like, oh shit, let me try and start it, and does that, and I'm like, I think we bricked it. And I've honestly never bricked an ECM in a Duramax, so I'm like, I don't know what happens when it happens, but like nothing is acting right. And there's no reason things are supposed to be making the noises they are when we're doing these things.
Yeah.
And like when you turn the key to the on position, you hear the starter solenoid and just like sounding like it's trying to start, but it's not turning the engine over.
Yeah.
It's just shit.
And so for the fourth time, I pushed the truck outside in neutral.
And so
go think about what you did there, Chevrolet.
Yeah.
And so then I reached out to Edge, obviously, and because they have fantastic tech support. I was like, cool, I think we bricked it. And they're like, well, what do you have going on? What do you have this? And they're like, okay, so they actually, we got it back to the point where it could start. They sent us a stock file, we loaded it on there, truck starts. But we're still having issues loading the tune on there. And as of today, which is Wednesday, September 27th, on Monday, they sent us a different device to try on there. Because, and I've only run into this a few times as far as trucks, and it's not just an Edge thing. It's just, it's a box tuner thing and certain trucks. Not every truck is like happy to be tuned.
Is that original ECM in that truck?
I have no idea.
More than likely.
I would say more than likely, yeah. And when I say that is like Edge Evolution, you know, it's going to work like on 99.9% of the trucks out there.
Yeah.
There are some trucks that just, they just don't jive well.
Yeah.
And I've never personally ran into one. I've only come across this once or twice in my time on this side of the counter trying to explain it to people. And sometimes it just takes a different manufacturer of tuner. Like, oh, my Edge didn't work. Well, try an SCT and all of a sudden it works. But then that person's like, Edge sucks. Like, no, it doesn't. Just you got to remember we sell 1,000 of these things every month. And this is the one time in the last 6 years I've had this happen. Like, it's not an Edge problem. It's your truck. It just sometimes it doesn't work. Not every blonde girl with big yabos is, you know, your chick. Okay. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Might be a dude.
Might be a dude. The odds of a chicken killing you are low.
But never zero.
But never, but never zero.
Yeah.
They're never zero.
Yeah.
So yeah, they sent us one of the old school Super Chips F5. So we're going to try and recover everything and get a tune loaded on there and whatnot.
Going big with the tunes.
Yeah. But we did take it for a drive, and I'm driving and I'm like, man, this thing feels like shit. Yeah. Like I'm flooring it right now. It doesn't feel like it did before. And Wes is like, this is there like a, is the floor mat stuck under the pedal or something? Like, what's going on? It just doesn't feel right. And as we're driving a little bit longer, I'm like, you know, I think this was tuned before because this sucks.
Yeah.
And this feels like a stock tune. This feels like, okay, because before you could lay into it and there'd be like a little puff of smoke and it would move. Like it would at least like, if you romped on it from a dead stop, it like, you know, it put you in a little bit. I mean, it wasn't skirting by any means.
Yeah.
But like you could get through an intersection quickly.
Well, I'm sure you probably felt like there it goes. Fast.
I know. Yeah. Power strokes, blah, blah. Yeah, I know. But now it's like you floor, it's like, now it's like normal power stroke stuff.
Yeah.
Now it feels like a 7.3.
It's like 6.2 diesel level.
Yeah. So, we still got to get back there and actually do some more, tuning work on there and get that going. And then,
apparently it's got one hell of a draw somewhere, right?
So yeah, it's got a massive aftermarket stereo in it and we don't know where the draw is coming from.
Stereo.
The stereo is fully unplugged right now. So if we go out there and start it after it's been sitting for this long, it's official the stereo.
Yeah.
Like we're both pretty sure it's a stereo, but like this one is.
Have you guys put a freaking amp meter on the negative battery after the key's been off and just see like what's still on? Like at all?
Get out of here, man. Take your logic and shove it up your ass.
I would do that if that truck did anything for me, like, yeah,
I know nobody's excited about it. Like, I know, I get it, but it's like for like weeks, they're like, man, it's got this like draw. The meter on it,
it doesn't start to get pace, we kick it,
start pulling fuses. My god,
it's more fun just it's like, oh, it's dead again. I guess I have something to do now.
I will tell you, there's nothing more satisfying when you have the meter on there and like you see the draw
and
you find that fuse that just makes that drop all the way down. You're just like,
gotcha, bitch.
Fuck yeah. I know where you're at.
But there's
nothing. I know where you're hiding.
There's nothing more infuriating than pulling every fuse and going, what the? Why does it still have a power draw?
Well, then you start. Then you start like,
I hate
all
wiring.
Accessories, any and everything, start unplugging shit and just wait for that to drop down. But why don't you fucking do it? Like, I want to know.
I had to do that on the
Duramax. That's why.
I had to do that on the 07 recently because it died again after like a week sitting there. And I've just, ever since it got a stereo in it, it's had problems. And finally, I was like, I'm pulling the fuses to everything. And it's like, pulled the stereo out, pulled the fuse out of the back of it, pulled the one for the amp. And I was like, all right, so let's sit there and see what it does. So now we wait.
Or, you know, you could put the proper tool on there and figure it out, like Tyra's thinking right now.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I did that to that truck for a long time, and we had the same problem with everything around here as power draw.
Yeah.
At some point. And
I've never seen one meter get put on.
No, I didn't, because on the 04 or 05, the last silver truck, the Switch Pro had gotten water in it and was stuck on all the time. It was like, found that was the problem. And we kind of had like when howitzer had battery draw issues, it was, we're like, oh, there's something here. Well, it turned out the speaker for the like auxiliary speaker for the radio, rugged radio setup was on all the time. Mm. And like, okay. And it's like, yeah, sometimes you find it. And then other times it's just like, well, I'll beat my head against the wall for the next 3 days.
Yeah.
And you can sit there and meter it and you think you found the mega cab. Same thing, like was fighting it, and it was, there's something in that truck's stereo that like it has like a display mode or something. Mm-hmm. And so if the battery goes dead and it comes back on, then you have to like reset the stereo.
Oh, or also just sit there and like display mode. Yeah.
And it's like, just, and when you fight stupid stuff like that, at a certain point you're like, all right, everything gets a battery tender now. Yeah, yeah. There's a fleet of trucks. Like a literal fleet of trucks out there, and it's just like, cool, how many battery tenders do we need?
Yeah. Well, that's not anything new with us. We have a problem with building cool shit and then letting weeds grow around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's the thing. Like, even the trucks around, we just have so much stuff that, like, the F-450 every now and then, it's like, you go to use it, the batteries are dead. There must be something wrong with it. No, it's just sat there for 3 months.
Yeah. We try and drive them. I'll be honest. Like,
just, well, there's so many things. I mean, it's like there's, unless we literally made it our job to go drive everything around, like stuff's going to fall through the cracks.
That's true. Yeah.
I'll take that job. Just drive
hard stance you're taking there, Tyler. Oh, I'll take the job where I drive $500,000 worth of cool shit around.
All of a sudden, Tyler doesn't care about finding draws anymore.
Fuck it. Leave the draw. I'll drive it. Yeah. I'll throw every meter away that we have here.
My name is Tyler. I'm the anti-draw.
Yeah, yeah.
I am your battery
tender. I know how to
tender.
Fix that draw. Let me drive it.
Tyler, the battery tender.
Yeah, yeah.
Get you a shirt that says just battery tender just, on it.
That's all I do.
Go get the battery tender.
Yeah.
Tyler comes running out. Hey, guys! I'm here.
I'm out.
Gotta go.
By the way, I need a company card for fuel.
Yeah, yeah, no shit.
Where are you going? Don't know yet.
Charging the batteries.
Charging the batteries. Gotta go.
I won't stop till it's charged. Move on to the next one.
I do my job and I love what I do.
Burnout smoke just everywhere.
Gotta go.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Look at me. But, I'm charging the batteries.
Look at me.
Whoa. What's that noise? You hear that truck take off? Oh, it's just Tyler working again.
Yeah, yeah, it's the battery tender going.
It's battery tender. Yeah. Your battery tender is burnouts? How does it do that? Well, it's a man.
It's a man.
Why don't you just get a real battery tender? Well, we have Tyler.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, at the rate that we go through battery tenders, that's someone's wage.
Yeah.
I could actually save the company money.
Put it
now,
on paper.
You're stretching it now. Yeah.
How much are those battery tenders? Like 10,000 a pop? And we replace them. We replace them what? 10 times a year?
$10,000 to buy the whole company.
Yeah,
you buy enough battery tenders to charge the rigs in Spokane, like in the
you gotta
10
take
block
into,
radius.
You got to take into consideration the power that's being used. I'm just saying. I mean, that shit's expensive.
We've got Grand Coulee Dam like right and over there.
We're sending all that down to California though. So you know, and then you've got extension cables, you know,
Or we could just hire one asshole.
The wear and tear on your boots. Every time you open and close the shop door.
Possible
electrocution. There's a hazard involved.
Yeah. Also, how many times can you pop the hood before it breaks?
That's true.
It's true.
You just never latch it.
Yeah.
Just pull the hood off, roadkill style.
Yeah.
It'll never overheat. Won't have mice under there.
I'm going to put together a business proposal
yeah. Fold it in. I got this for you over here. Let's take a look at that. Yeah.
Have you noticed there's zero flies in here today?
Yeah, yesterday.
That's pretty
million
nice.
Of them.
Yeah.
Today, none.
Yeah. I scared them off because I caught 18
have.
Of them.
Yeah.
Did you let one go to tell the story?
One escaped, though. Fucking Harry Houdini over here. Fuck.
Yeah, I don't know how you did that.
Ninja skills, dude.
Yeah.
Just
he watched The Karate Kid a lot.
But the, speaking of real close status with no hood, I was driving home. I was like last week or something like that, or maybe it was on the weekend. I don't know. And I can't remember for the life of me what car it was, but it was your like classic full body car with no hood. And it had the hood springs just kind of hanging out there. And I realized that to me, that's almost like part of the look of the car. Like, like the hood springs being up, it's like, that's not supposed to be there. It's like, yeah, I know, but like, for some reason, that having that look of those things just sticking up right there, that's more aggressive to me.
That is that guy telling the world, look, I'm going to put the hood back on. Yeah. I promise.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it. All right.
If the hood wasn't 800 pounds on my Charger, I would have pulled it to adjust all the like kick down linkage and everything a couple weekends ago. Because that is a job that was like, you could drive it 40 feet and you realize, okay, I need to turn the linkage again. Get out, open the hood, pull the air cleaner off. Well, eventually you stop putting the air cleaner back on. And eventually I was like, I just need to pull the hood off of this thing. I didn't have a second person to help me pull the hood off. And it just makes life a lot easier. If you're carb tuning and everything else, yeah, you can yank that SOB off of there and go drive your whatever it is. It's only cool if you do it with a muscle car. If you're tuning your Honda and you pull the hood off, you just look like a tweaker.
Yeah. Well, and they don't have the hoods. Hood struts pop or the hood.
You could just leave the little hydraulic struts just flapping around.
They don't even have that. They have like the shitty little like 10-inch hood support on the left side, like right there.
Oh yeah.
That I always folded down when I was doing oil changes on. Because you go to feel the oil and you're used to having like if the hood doesn't keep itself up, you got the hood strut like right here or like right there, and it's got the little tiny like the worst leverage point. I'm like, okay, you go to shut it and he goes, taco, like fuck. Just bent the God damn it. Dorman.
do you know hoods? Since we're talking about hoods.
Yeah.
I can't remember the car that has this, but like I think the hood comes up like towards I don't know what you'd call it. Suicide
forward.
Hood. Forward hood.
Yeah.
But like to latch it, it like comes up. Oh, or like when you close it, you close it and then you push it.
Yeah.
Like
there was
that's what he's like. I've never actually done it, but it just seems so satisfying to me. Like that is a nice way to close a hood.
There was like an Oldsmobile or a Buick, I think in the 90s that had that. Because it's like, yeah, when you unlatched the hood, you pulled it forward a little bit, and then it flipped down in front of the grill.
Yeah.
And I took that whole mechanism out of one at the junkyard because I wanted to try and put it in an old car.
Yeah.
When I was like 17 and I didn't know shit about fabricating. And I was like, I'm totally going to do that. And I pulled it all out and I'm like, I have no idea how to do this. But I thought it was really cool. I kept that stuff around for like 5 years. And then I needed a piece of metal rod for something someday. And I'm like, there's a lot of metal rod in this setup. I have to go home. Yoink. Yeah.
Money well spent.
Yeah. The best one's still a C4 Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
Like the top half of the fenders, everything. The hood's huge and all goes forward.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite thing about my Corvette for the very small time that I had it.
Like, isn't that like a Viper too? Like
that's early Vipers. Yeah, that's the only lame thing about the new, like the last generation Vipers is they have a regular hood. I'm like, that's lame.
Yeah.
I don't want
Well, the
one
first
now.
Generation ones, let's face it, look the best. Like those things are fucking sick.
Do you remember the show Viper? It was like the car like transformed. It all was like kind of cool shit.
I don't know.
What kind of coke fueled dream is that?
There was a show and it had, I'm going to pull it up right now because I can't remember the blonde's name, but there's this blonde chick that was like Natalie
Portman.
Nope. TV.
But first gen Vipers. Especially the silver
Viper
with the
TV
blue
series.
Stripes.
But you're not thinking the early, because like the first 2 years were kind of weird looking. It's like
the swoopy with the fat ass.
Yeah, but that's like the, because they came out in like 93. And I think the ones you're thinking of are like 2000, 2001.
The ones that had the better looking wheels, not like those like super gay,
the
like
three spoke
thing. Three spoke wheels. The ones that actually had like the SRT looking
like
wheels. Okay, that's the one I like.
Yeah, those
the
are
ones
really
after
cool.
that,
yeah.
ugly as fuck. I hated those.
But the last generation ones that have like the big like pockets in the hood, like the big I love those ones.
Corey,
like
can you pull up the last
like a
Viper?
Like a 2013.
That was made.
2013 ones, I think. I think the third was. That was towards the end, but that's like those ones are good.
Yeah, I can't remember what the last one looked like.
They're pretty hot, other than the fact that the hood goes like the direction that it should, which is lame.
Yeah.
I want it to fold forward and be in the way.
So, dude.
That's a hot.
That's
car.
A 13. Wait, no, they that's have a newer 13. Body style than that.
I think that's what.
That blue? That looks like the older bodies. There's a newer body style.
That one, I think, is the one.
They keep going up in years. Go 14, 15. Like, what was that? Or just type in last year, the Viper. I don't know.
No, it's pretty much the same.
No, they made a different one. Had like a different back end.
They had ACRs that had like the big wing and everything too. Like that one on the right. No,
those are
ACR.
Sick. Those are sick. That still has like that. But no, there was another body style that I thought maybe it was a concept or something. Maybe it was. I don't know. Because that I don't mind.
Maybe you were just smoking a doobie.
Maybe I was. Yeah. That's a very good chance I could have been shit faced.
Show you're watching?
The Viper TV show.
Oh my god!
It transforms into that. It's a crime.
No, there
car.
It was on a video game. I'm pretty sure. It was a concept, or maybe it was just a shitty graphics on the video game on my fucking PlayStation 1.
I was gonna say you were playing. It was some like GT4 spec, like Le Mans race car.
Yeah, those are all sick. Like those badass. Yeah, it looked different. I can't.
Weapon system.
They almost look like Clint Eastwood. Must have just been the hair.
No, you get in and.
God, that is an ugly car.
Concept.
Now, if you guys haven't seen it.
Shitty Viper concept.
This was the intro.
Yeah, see that red one down the bottom. That's a first year car.
Yeah,
those are
the three spoke. Yeah.
Those are super ugly. And then the one right above it, that one's really ugly too.
Yeah.
Your search really paid off here.
I thought I fucking nailed it.
You did.
I swear there was another body style.
There is. It lives inside your mind.
It does, and I'm trying to get it out.
You don't want to be inside Tyler's mind.
For all those that are listening to this as an audio experience, Corey's typing Tyler's shitty Viper concept, which has still yielded no results.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, Google sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to Bing.
Huh. What is this? Stefani Tyler, Viper's Rule. Is that a book?
What is that? You wouldn't fucking buy it anyway.
It was paperback.
All right, so I've found a truck that I found two different trucks that I want to go buy.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about them. They're both gas powered, which is perfect for this diesel related podcast. Don't leave it. Tyler's gone.
Hold on. We should make that the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can.
What are we at right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to hear what Jesse wants to buy next, you got to tune to the next episode.
Do you like a drink?
Bitches.
I would like a drink because it's time to refuel. I appreciate you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's America's Diesel Podcast. Buy parts and diesel power products and watch the Viper TV series, which came out in 1994. That is all. Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe and check us out at dieselpowerproducts.com.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.